Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Today we bring you a special broadcast for those who may be watching from home, especially our elderly friends, those who may be feeling lonely, and those who are shut-ins or unable to attend church services in person. For many years, this ministry has been dedicated to reaching people just like you, people who may not be able to travel to church, but still desire to worship, pray, and grow in their faith. We often receive notes from viewers across the country, and I'd like to share just a few with you today. One viewer wrote, "I am visually impaired and still enjoy your service every Sunday. I am so thankful for all your team does to keep these programs on the air. I pray for your ministry daily." Another note says, "I enjoy watching Christian Worship Hour. I am unable to drive and have no one to visit me, so I really look forward to your broadcasts. They have helped me since I lost my husband over a year ago. We were married 66 years. And another couple wrote, "We are both unable to go to church, so we enjoy CWH. Because of all you do, we feel so much closer to God each week." To all of you watching today, please know that you are part of our family. We are thankful that we can come into your homes to share worship, encouragement, and the truth of God's Word. Now, let's prepare our hearts as we worship together and hear my dad share his message titled, "A Sermon to Shut-Ins." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come around, because then I know we're going to get together all over the world, and we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. And so it's just a wonderful time, and someday when our work is done and all time is no more, we'll all gather around the throne of God, and we'll be seeing each other and singing the praises of God. And oh, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know it's going to be good, really, really good. We're looking at Psalm 84 today, where the psalmist writes, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, that a place where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. You are my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee." And Lord, this was written centuries ago about a psalmist who was praising you. And now here we are in the 21st century, and we're still praising you, the same great, wonderful God. And you never change, and you're always there, and we're secure. And someday we're going to see you face to face. So bless us in this service, and may many come to know you as Savior, and may Christians be strengthened everywhere. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing today, "God on the Mountain," and God bless you, Barb.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. God in the night. talk of the faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley with trials and temptations. It's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make things right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Well, thank you, Barb. What a wonderful God we have. The God, He's a God on the mountains. And when you're everything's going fine and you're happy and rejoicing and you're young and you're full of spirit and all, and He's your God then. And then when you come down and you have some hard times, and in this life, we're going to find some hard times, all of us, the good and the bad. But those who love the Lord and trust the Lord, that wonderful God is there in the hard times as well as the good times. And that's what we're going to preach about today. It's entitled, we're going to preach to the shut-ins, we're talking about people that are prisoners, people that can't get out of their homes. People that are caught into some bad habits, and they're a slave of a habit, and all people need to have God, and He's the Savior, and He's a remedy for every situation. So just stay tuned, and if you know somebody that's lonely or somebody that's kind of blue or down, give them a ring and tell them to tune us in, and if we'll bless their hearts, because we'll give a promise that comes from God. And those promises never fail, ever, never fail. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, thank you so much for writing, and thank you for the gifts. You know, we have to have those gifts, too, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And if we get a little extra money, we'll add another station and get the Word of God out so that we're all over the world. And shortwave radio, we reach 95% of the world's population. Isn't that glorious? But let's look at some letters. First one is from Barnesville, Minnesota. Please send 8 Heart of the Shepherd DVs. We will share with our children and family and ask them to pass along to others when they have asked Jesus into their hearts. Thank you for all Christian Worship Hour does. Blessings on you. And this is exactly what we had in mind when we filmed this film, The Heart of a Shepherd. The idea was we want to present Jesus in a way so that they can see how to accept Jesus and see that Jesus loves them and God, He's the great shepherd. And if they come to Him, He will receive them. He'll never turn them away. You never read in the Bible of any place where Jesus turned anybody away. We read of some that didn't turn to Him. They turned away from Jesus, but Jesus never turned away from you, ever. If somebody moved, it's you. And so just think of this wonderful Savior. And here's this family. They're getting 8 of these tapes, these DVDs, and they're going to show them to their children. And she says, and this person writes, when they have asked Jesus into their hearts. And that's what we have in this film. And it'll say how to accept Jesus, to ask Him into your heart and what to say. And by alone, just watching that film by alone, you can come to know the Lord. And I'll tell you how you can get that in just a few minutes. So get your pencil and paper ready. You won't want to miss out on that. Here's Huron, South Dakota. And this person writes and says, I watched your show with my grandparents. I'm 11 years old. 11 years old. We watched your movie, Heart of a Shepherd. It was really good. I learned you got to trust God at all times. When I was 6 years old, I accepted Christ into my heart. What do you know? 6 years old. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. And I have a daughter, Patty, accepted the Lord when she was 5. And now she's a grandma. She's still walking with Jesus. Oh, we have some people say, well, children, they don't understand. Listen, you never understand all of the things about God. When you can understand God, you'll be God. We don't have the mind of God. He is so far above us. And so we don't understand it, but we know this. If we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, he'll never turn us away. He'll come into our hearts. He'll wash away our sins in the blood of the Lamb, and he'll give us peace and joy. I don't say you're going to be rich, and I'm going to say you'll never get a toothache, but you'll have the Jesus there, and you'll have peace and joy and contentment. Here's a letter from Warrensburg, Missouri. My husband and I watch you together. My brother and my dear mother watched you. Mom is the one who found your service and introduced you and your church family to us. Lost my dear mother in August 2018, lost my brother in 2019, but my sister, husband, and myself watch you every Sunday. Please know how grateful we are for your service. And we have so many people we'll hear from. A lot of times, husband and wife, then one will be taken, and then the other one stays, and they worship, and they think about their spouse, and they worship with us, and they find comfort. And the reason you find comfort from our service is because we use the Word of God. It's not what I'm promising you, but it's what God is telling you. He's telling you if you call in the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. He's telling you he will never leave you or forsake you. He's telling you that he loves you and watches over you. And when you accept Jesus, he watches over you all the rest of your life and brings you safely home, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Here's Jamestown, North Dakota, up north of us here. I can't go to church anymore. My ears are so bad. I have hearing aids, but they don't help much. And now listen to what he says here. I can hear the pastor, but I can't understand what he's saying. So I watch your service every Sunday morning, and I turn my TV up, and I can hear everything you say. I hope you're here for many years. Well, isn't that wonderful? And we hear from a good number of people that they just say, well, I go to church and I just can't get it. I can't understand it. I can't hear it. And I turn my TV up at the house and I can hear it good. And we had one lady, I don't know whatever happened to her, but she says, I get mine on Sunday and I'm in a home and I have apartments all around me. So she says, I open my door and leave my door open, and then I turn my TV as loud as it'll go so they'll all hear the gospel. So as I say, I don't know if she still lives there anymore or not, but she's witnessing for the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Get the word of the Lord to these people, because they can't believe if they don't hear. They have to hear the word of God and answer the call of Jesus to come. I want you to come to me, he says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's giving that out to the whole world. And it doesn't matter what your sins may be, he'll wash them away, make them clean and pure. What a wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Here's from Lancaster, South Carolina. I was crippled by a burglar who beat me with a ball bat and left me for dead. I'm 69 years old in a wheelchair and homebound. Hardly get to go anywhere. God bless your church. And so what we need to do is to pray for this dear brother. And we sent him some literature. He needed some literature, a little larger print. So we sent him some literature. And thank God that he's living, and thank God he's trusting in Jesus. Someday he won't be in that wheelchair anymore. He'll be free. He'll have that new body, that resurrected body, just like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one town that I really like, Salem, Oregon. Oh, I do like that town. And I've seen it, by the way. I was through it there one time, and it is really a nice town. And they write, your March new song on friendship was so moving. I've enjoyed rereading it. I love the thought that Jesus calls us his friend. And so now this person is talking about the new song, and that's a little Bible study that we put out every month, a new Bible study every month. And this particular month, it was Jesus is my friend. And it tells how he's our friend and what ways he's our friend and what he promises. It's a wonderful little Bible study, and you can ask for that. And if you want to get the new song, it's free and postpaid. And I know you're saying, well, how can you get along if you pay all the expenses? There's postage and everything. But, you know, we send it free, and then the Lord will say, talk to people, and we get people to support us and help us. And then there's some people that we have prisoners that they don't have money. We send to the prisons, and whoever writes in, new song, the new song, put that down, because this month we're talking about the eyes of the Lord and how God is watching us and helping us and guiding us. Oh, it's a great little Bible study. And let me see, what is this? Seattle, Washington. And here's this. This is from a man who was in prison. And we hear from a lot of prisoners. We hear from prisons from Alaska to New Mexico and from Maine to California. And one federal prison, we hear from 14 prisoners in that. And they all get our little Bible study, and we're helping them. And this is a prisoner. He's a man that's he's out of prison now. Listen to his letter. I just got out of prison after serving a 5-year sentence. While I received the new song, I received a new song, the new song. I wrote you to skip sending it to me in prison and tell you to wait for my new address so I can continue to get your monthly message. I'm now able to send my support for your ministry. Thank you so much for doing the Lord's work as you do. Don't stop. You have my support financially and prayerfully. God bless all of you. All of you guys, love in Christ. And so we're so happy to help the prisoners. And I'll tell you something else. If people in prison, if you want this film, The Heart of a Shepherd, you have your chaplain write, because we can't send it through the mails to the prison because it's a film. And I can see where they just can't take everything people send in. But get your chaplain and to get him to write to us. We'll send it free and postpaid and show it to everybody. And you'll like it. It's a little old farm boy, 10 years old, accepted Jesus, and he became a preacher. And his name was Harold Salem. And here I am preaching, and now preaching for 75 years. 75 years. Now, I know people say, well, I think after 75 years, you could do better than you're doing. Well, you should have heard me when I started. And I come a long ways. At least you can hear some of my words. One more letter. St. Paul, Minnesota. I am grateful for the opportunity to help bring people into the kingdom through Jesus. There's no better investment on earth than the souls of mankind. And this man had it exactly right. You're making an investment when you give to the Christian Worship Hour. And you're investing in eternity. You're investing in the souls of people. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be evil, then it be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, but if not, it can be full of evil. And then Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or God and money. And so that's a good investment when you send to the Christian Worship Hour. And so if you want to send us a gift, I'm going to give you the address. And then if you want to get the new song, if you want to get this film, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'm going to give it again now because people on television, you've got it on the screen. But our shortwave people don't have a screen. And so it's just Christian Worship Hour. And then the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you can, and then what you need to do is just say, now, dear Lord, should I support this work? I'm praying for them now. Should I send them a gift because we got to pay our way like anybody else? And then just ask the Lord. And then if he says, no, you should give it to some other place, some other good missionary, good programs, gospel programs. We're not the only one. And so he may want to give you a different one. But if he wants you to support our work, and that's the only income we have is God's people. We're not supported by any denomination or organization or corporation. We're just God's people. And I know what you're thinking, especially the men. The women will probably say, oh, yes, send him a gift. And then the men will say, well, how do you know? What do you know he's going to spend it on? What if he buys a fancy boat? What if he gets a sports car? I say, I'm 97 years old, and I'm liable to get a sports car. But you don't need to worry about your gift because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books. Every penny we get and every penny we send out. And it's all accounted for every year. They go through those books. So I just hope that you'll help us and just do as the Lord leads. And so now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. Jan will play. And then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And whatever we get, that's all we want. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Our scripture today is a scripture that maybe you know by heart. And I remember when I went to Bible school and vacation Bible school as a child, we memorized this passage of scripture, Psalm 23. And I'm using that because there's so much comfort in it. And we have people that need comfort and encouragement. And I don't know of a better scripture than Psalm 23. So I'm going to read that. And then in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. And so they know we're thinking about them. And all over the world, we'll pray for that Sri Lanka. And then we'll take another one. We have 50 different places marked down. And we go down that list and pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering and being persecuted for Christ. Thank God for them. Psalm 23 goes, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're preparing a place for those who love you. For all of those who have opened their heart to you and called on the name of the Lord, You're preparing a mansion for them over there. And in the meantime, you lead us and you guide us and you help us. And Lord, we have our ups and downs, and we have that enemy Satan who never gives up. And he tempts us every way he can, and he lays snares for us, traps for us. But you are wiser and you are stronger. And when we lean upon you and are guided by your Spirit, we can get through the trials and temptations of life. So we just thank you for Jesus, our wonderful, wonderful Savior. He's like a wonderful shepherd who cares for his sheep. And we thank that we can be the sheep of his pasture. We can be a part of his flock when we open our heart to Jesus and take him as our Savior. And dear Lord, today we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. And we know some of them have given their life, Lord, and some of them have had their homes taken. Some of them had their churches burned down. And suffer them, some have given their life for you and gladly given their life for you. And they never backed down and they never gave up, but they loved you and trusted you. So, oh God, just help them to know that they are such an encouragement to us and those of us who live under better circumstances. Lord, sometimes we deny you. We're afraid what people will say or what people will do. So help us to be like our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. They don't care. They stand up for you, even if it costs their life. So bless them, encourage them. Now, Lord, just help us, because our sermon today is going to be for people that are shut-ins and people who can't get about, people that are caught up in some habit. They're shut into some evil habit, and they want to get free, and they don't know what to do. And we know you're the answer. So bless this service and use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And before I bring the message, we're going to have a song. Melissa's going to sing Wayfaring Stranger. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Stranger traveling through this world alone. There is no sickness, no toil, no danger in that fair land to which I go. I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home, no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I know dark clouds will hover over me. I know my pathway is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me, where weary eyes no more will weep. I'm going home to see my father. I'm going home. Just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. Oh, to be free from every trial. This form shall rest beneath the sun. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter in that home with God. I'm going home to see my Savior who spilled his precious blood.
was going over Jordan. I'm just going over home.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's where we're at. We're a wayfaring stranger. We're strangers in a foreign country. We're going through the wilderness of this world. Sometimes some of the folks have some hard times about persecuting church. Many of them giving their life for the Lord. And there's others who have other problems. We call them shut-ins. And when we talk about shut-ins, we include the people in the hospitals and in retirement homes. And those are housebound, and those who have retirement places. Those who are bedridden, and some are disabled and the like. Oh, we hear from so many, and many of them use our tapes on the Heart of a Shepherd. We hear from so many different homes. One lady wrote and how she showed it in his home and brought tears to a lot of people's eyes because they were lonely, and they're making this trip alone, and some of them are older in age. And so now they have a Savior and they have a Shepherd that'll guide and help them. And of course, then we have people that are, they might be perfectly healthy, but they're alone and they don't have any friends and their children don't come to see them. And no one seems to care for them and they're all by themselves. They go to work maybe and they have to work by themselves. Or if they do work with others, nobody's really close to them. They don't have anybody to confide in. And they can be in good health and getting around, but they're lonely. And I know that's exactly like, because when I went to Bible school, I was raised out in western South Dakota in a little town called Belle Fourche. And we lived out on a farm. And we didn't have electric lights. We didn't have electricity. Didn't have running water. We were dirt poor, desperately poor. We were so poor that the poor people called us poor, and not a penny to our name. We lost our farm after living there 10 years. And I left that country home I felt like God wanted me to be a preacher. And I signed up to go to a school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it's a Northwestern Bible School. It's a university now. I think if I... Been a university then, they never let me in, but they're just a Bible school, and they just took anybody that would come, and I went there. And I worked in downtown Minneapolis and at 6th and Hennepin, and there were people all over the place. And I'd walk to work, and you'd bump on people going to work and walking back home about 6 blocks. And I remember I was so homesick that I thought I was actually sick for being homesick. And I was surrounded by people and talking to people. I worked in a grocery store and talked to people. And I was so lonely, I wanted to die. And I stuck with it, and God helped me. And he always will help us through. He'll never give us too much to bear. But believe me, I was one of those lonely people. And I was a young person, about 19 years old, and could get along just fine. But oh... It was a lonely place to be. There are some people that are weary with the burdens of life, and they've worked so hard, and they have so little, and they have to stay with it. And some people with the monotony of life, they get up in the morning, they eat, and they live through the day, and they go to bed at night, and then they get up and they eat. And it's the same old monotonous thing, and they haven't reached out to other people. If they just help somebody else, they'd get help themselves, but that's the way they live. Maybe discouraged and downhearted because your spouse is taken. And we get letters all the time, almost every week, I guess. Every other week, at least. And the husband or the wife is taken. They used to watch the Christian Worship Hour together. Now they have to they're separated, and she's gone to heaven or he's gone to heaven. And one man wrote to me and said it in such a nice way. He says, "And I know now she's done with all of her sins, or all of her sins are in the past, and all of my sins are in the past." And he's exactly right. All those sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so they're the weary people. And then there are the people, maybe you lost your job, maybe you're going through a divorce, Maybe you're having trouble with the children. We have these poor young people. We get letters from them and their parents, and they're on to drugs or something like that. It's a terrible, terrible, heartbreaking situation. And so they need help. There's help. And they're caught up in these drugs, and it's just like in a slimy pit, and you can't get out, and you want to get out, and you wish you could get out. And it's in a horrible way. And then sometimes this sickness or this loneliness can come to any age. It comes to young people. And maybe it's a bully at school. You know, we had a bully at school. I went to school, and I was the first grade was 1928. And he was upper class. He was about the seventh or eighth grade. We went to country school, and they had all the grades there. And he always threatened he's going to cut my ears off with his scissors. He had scissors, and he'd hold them up and show me. And if the teacher went out, didn't dare while the teacher was there. And I was petrified, actually petrified. So there are people. It can be young people. It can be old people. And so that's what. And so that God tells us, as it tells Isaiah. He's in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people. My people are hurting. My people are sorrowing. They don't know which way to turn. And you pastors and you prophets and you Christian leaders, yeah, comfort God's people. And you and those of you of everyday life, you say, well, I'm not a preacher, but you can comfort people and you can help people. And so that's what God is telling us. So in order to comfort God's people, there's only one place to go, and that's the Bible. The Bible. Because God's word will never change. And when he gives us his word, you can count on it. It will never change. And so what should we look at? What verses? Well, what better verse than Psalm 23? I don't know how many times I preach on Psalm 23. It's such a wonderful picture, wonderful story. And it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. And so Jesus here is a shepherd, and he loves us. And the shepherd always loved his sheep. And he would count his sheep every night. And if one was missing, he would close that gate, and he would go and look for that one lost sheep because he loved his sheep. And he would go, and the people and the sheep loved the shepherd. And when the shepherd went out, he would walk before them, and they all followed him. And where are they going to graze that day? Where are they going to eat? And he'd walk before them, and they'd follow him. Now, in America, my dad, I know a lot about sheep because my dad always has sheep, tons of sheep all over the place. We had one or two cows for milk cows, and that's all he needed for cattle, and is sheep. So I am a sheep herder. And I always like to tell him, because I have some cowboys listening in, I always tell him sheep herders are smarter than cowboys. And the reason I know is you never see a sheep herder getting on a wild bull to ride that, get thrown off and then gored by the bull or some dumb thing. I don't know why. And they'll get up and they'll be next day, they'll be looking for another bull to ride. See, not a sheep herder. Oh, no. And so this sheep herder, he loves his sheep, and they love him, and he cares for them. And a lot of times he'll give them names out in his flock. And a lot of times they'll be grazing. They'll just come up to the shepherd, and then he'll rub their nose a little bit. Then they go back to grazing. There was a closeness. And that's what Jesus is telling us here, that he is the good shepherd. He tells us over, listen to him in John chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I don't drive them around with making a noise like we did out in South Dakota. He says, I go before them and they follow me. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never die. They're going to die physically, but never die spiritually. And they're going to go to heaven because they have everlasting life. You know what? When we accept Jesus, he gives us eternal life that very minute. In the Gospel of John, it tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The minute you believe in Jesus Christ, receive him into your heart, you have everlasting life. Now listen, that's not out there in the Gospel of John. And he says, 15:24, he says, I say unto you, you listen to me, you hear my word and believe on me, I give eternal life, and you shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. That wonderful, wonderful Jesus. That's what the good shepherd does. And the psalmist starts out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And it says, I shall not want. And maybe some young person will read that. I shall not want. Well, I want a hot rod race car, but I don't get it. And I want it, and it says, I shall not want. And what it really means is he's going to supply everything we really need, because we're wanting a lot of things we don't need. And we can ask, and we may want some things that are not for our good. I remember I started, my first church was out in Belfou, South Dakota. And we had one family, they had about 4 or 5 children. And they had an old wreck of a car that barely would get there, but they always were Sunday school and church. And so we decided, why don't we pray that they get a nice, nice car? So a whole church, 40, 50 of us, we all prayed they'd get a nice car, and they got a nice car. But they missed church the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday. They had a good car, so they went joyriding and picnics and stuff like that. Worst thing they could get was a nice new car. I don't think it was new. It was just a good used car. And so when we says, I want, you may want a lot of things not for your good. You're not going to believe this, but I'm an old-timer. And when I started out shaving, I shaved with a straight-edge razor. I wouldn't try that now if you had a gun toward my head. But I used to shave every day with a razor. One time my little boy came and he wanted to shave with that razor. He wanted that razor. Worst thing I could have done was to give him that razor. See? And so when it says, I shall not want, means he's going to give us what we really need. He's going to provide. And then it goes on and says, he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. And there's two things I want to point out here. They're lying down in the green pastures. That means they're contented. They've had their fill. They've had their drink of water. And they're contented. Now, in the 1930s, they were horrible years. And I remember sometimes the sheep would graze at night a little bit to get something to eat because they were hungry and it was just hard to find them enough to get by. But this one, it says here, they're lying down, lying down in the green pastures. They're contented. And that's what we have when we have Jesus. We may not have a fortune. We may not have much of this world's goods, but we're contented because we have Jesus. We're leaning on Jesus. And then it says, he leads me beside the still waters. And this tells us that David knew something about sheep, because sheep do not like rushing waters. You know why they don't like rushing waters? They can't swim. Sheep can't swim. Cattle can swim. Horses can swim. Dogs can swim. Cats can swim. Fish can swim. Well, I guess so. You know, but the sheep can't. You know why they can't swim? Because they're all woolly, and they get in that rushing water, and it sweeps them down the river into destruction. They never like rushing water. They don't like to drink from rushing waters because they're afraid of them. They're afraid of it, see? And that's so that David says, he leadeth me beside the still waters, the quiet waters, probably in a tank, maybe in a big bowl. Sometimes they had huge bowls, and then they had water in them. And they drink out of that still water and watching over. So God tells us that that's what we have this wonderful shepherd. And then he goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul, verse 3. That means our soul is lost, and he restores it. The good shepherd restores it. That's the story of the cross. Jesus is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he said. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And what Jesus is saying, I love those sheep, and they're all lost. They have their sins, and somebody has to pay for those sins. They have to pay for them sins themselves. They go into hell because of their payment for their sins. But if I pay for their sins, they can go to heaven. So Jesus went to the cross. The Good Shepherd went to the cross, and he died on the cross. And you know what it tells us in Hebrews? It talks about Jesus. That's why he's born of the Virgin. He comes. God can't die. So Jesus comes, and he takes upon himself a human form, and he's born. He's a human being like the rest of us, except he doesn't have sin. And so this wonderful Savior comes, and he's born of the Virgin, and he grows to manhood. And as a young man, he goes to the cross. And you know what it tells us in Hebrews? It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross and pay for your sins and my sins. I can't imagine that. But this wonderful Jesus loved us that much. He was glad to do it. He didn't say, oh, why they walk right and I wouldn't have these problems, or I shouldn't be doing this, or I hope they appreciate what I'm doing. No, he rejoiced that he could go. And we hear these Christians, even today in our 21st century, some of them dying for Jesus, and they're rejoicing that they can give their life to the Lord. So he restores our soul. Our soul is lost. And that's what we're told in Isaiah 53, verse 6. God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sins of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Those sheep go astray, and they never find their way home. They are dumb. I know, you write in, you had a smart sheep. Well, maybe you had a bottle-fed lamb, but that you don't have a regular sheep. A regular sheep is plumb dumb. And the reason I know they're dumb, I can prove that they're dumb. I have gone to circuses for 90 years, and I have seen all kinds of tricks by the elephants and the tigers and the goats and the dogs and the cats and the fleas. Let me ask you a question. You ever see a sheep do a trick in a circus? You never seen one. They can't be taught. They are just dumb. And when they're lost, they're lost. And they never find their way home. And the shepherd has to go and find them. Now you take a horse, you can be in a storm and you just don't guide the horse, just give him his head and he'll go right to the barn in the middle of a storm. The chickens all come to roost every night. The bees come home to the beehive. And the dogs come home. Why, you have heard about dogs being lost. People moved and they find their way home, come back to their home. Oh, my goodness. And cats, I read about one man, and he said he had a cat. He wanted to get rid of it, and he didn't want to do anything really drastic. He didn't want to hurt it too bad. And so he's talking to his neighbors, says, what am I going to do? And they live near Boston. And they tell me that the Boston streets, some of them follow cow trails from old age. And he says, from ages of old. And he says, you take that cat and you'll turn it loose in Boston. You'll never see it again. So the old farmer did that. Sometime later, his farmer friend, and he says, did you take that cat down to the middle of Boston, turn it loose? Yep, I sure did. Well, what happened? He says, you know, if it would have been for that cat, I never would have found my way home. That's the way they are. Everything finds their way home. Why, we have these geese, the Canadian geese, they go 3,000 miles to their summer home and their winter home, and they don't get lost sheep, they're lost. And that's why we say this wonderful Jesus, and he says that he'll go to that cross and he'll pay for our cross. He restores. He saves my soul. Is your soul saved? Oh, dear God. It isn't unless you have Jesus. There has to have been that time when you ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to come into your heart, take away your sin. You just do that. And then it goes on and it says in the fourth verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil." Sometimes people are afraid of death, and they don't like to talk about death, and they don't want you to talk about death. But we don't need to worry, because death is a shadow. It's only a shadow. And when we die, when a Christian dies, the minute you give your last breath here, the next breath is in heaven. Well, he said, what about the valley of the shadow of death? There is no valley of death. It's only a shadow. See, Jesus took the sting of death. He paid for that. And when we die, we just go through that shadow. One breath here. What does Paul say? I'm absent from the body, at home with the Lord. Same breath. That's the wonderful Savior that we have. Then he goes on and he talks about the cup runneth over. And then he talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And how that it's such a glorious place. And then he tells us the only way to heaven is through Jesus, this wonderful shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but through Jesus, the good shepherd. I read the story about a king, and he's having a big feast, and he was celebrating for his whole kingdom. And while they were celebrating, he noticed that he had a man there was an orator. He was a speaker, and he could move crowds. And he came up and asked him to speak. And the man came up and he gave the 23rd Psalm. And my goodness, the people applauded. They couldn't get over it. And then a little bit later, the old king saw an old pastor. And he asked the pastor, "I want to honor you. Would you give a reading?" And he gave the same thing, the 23rd Psalm. Only when he was done, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And the king got a hold of the orator and he said, "You have all the degrees. I don't know if this old pastor's ever been to school. And look at, he moved those people. You didn't even touch them. How can it be that he moved those people and you couldn't?" You know what the orator said? "Sir, it's because I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. And I'm asking you today, not if you know the psalm, do you know the shepherd? And you don't know the shepherd till you ask him into your heart." He says in Revelation, "Behold," he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into his heart." Not his head. Everybody's got that in their head. They talk, they know all about Jesus in their head and the psalm in their head. It doesn't do you a bit of good. Get it down here into your heart. And you just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to please come into my heart and take them away. And I'll turn from my sin, Lord. I'll follow you the best I can." Thank you, Jesus. That's what you pray in your own words. And I know we're going to try to be perfect like Jesus, but we're going to fail every day. And every day you fail, you tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins. But you will never lose that salvation. That salvation will never change. Once you're a son of God, you're a God of a son forever. But when we have sin in our life, it breaks our relationship, our fellowship, see. But we're always his son no matter what we do. We belong to him. He says, "I give unto you eternal life." And that means eternal life. And you'll never perish. That's what Jesus says. And so you ask Jesus into your heart. And you say, I don't understand how it can be. I don't understand either, except I know whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you do that, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. We'll send you some literature. Get you started on the Christian life. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you write to us, we'll send you some literature. And if you can help us, just ask God what you should do, because we're just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. And it's just every month, every day, every week, we're just looking and counting. And we have the Christian Worship Hour is audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. If you want the film about a shepherd, Heart of a Shepherd. You just put that. It's a free will offering. And if you want to have that little booklet, new song, you write to us for that. So now we're going to close and with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people that are just many for the first time have asked you into their heart, and now they're a child of God. And we're going to see them in heaven. We're going to be with them in heaven. And so I just pray, and I pray for those that are lonely. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for the young people. Pray for the precious children. They can understand. They can be saved. And oh, Jesus, I just pray for everyone who hears these services or watches these services, that not a one will go away without making that prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And if you'll pray that, we'll see you in heaven. God bless you, everyone. And so now in closing, we're hoping to hear from you and want to tell you something very special, and that is that God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. Christian Worshipper loves you. We have all kinds of people working for us. Almost everyone is a volunteer because they love you and they love your soul. And I want you to know that I love you, and that's why I'm preaching. And I don't do such a good job of it, but you're getting the message. And we're using the Word of God, and I'm doing it because I love you. I could go fishing or a dozen other things, but I don't. I want you to meet me in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. And so you just make that prayer, trust in Jesus. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see you again. So God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.